we should have done Hail to the Redskins as the intro, but I'm going to save that for later when it's going to be a big surprise reveal.
Save it for an episode when you have a co-host who roots for the Redskins.
That's true. You, despite being a DC boy, you are a heartless piece of shit garbage.
I am what is known as a hater.
You are. You really, and yet you hate on something small. Something that isn't worthy of hate. You might as well come in and you're like, you know what? Not a fan of the African Americans. I'm a hater of the black community. It's like, there's another word for that. Horrible piece of shit.
I hate the team from Washington for having a racist nickname, ironically.
I guess there is that. I can't really defend it, but I also feel like the average Native American just doesn't give a fuck, and they keep trying to drum that up. And it's like, come on, we're up to 1 in 10 hates the fucking name.
You're not going to believe this.
Get it up
this.
To 1 in 5.
You're not going to believe this. What's There's that? Actually a trademark case that was decided that's going to help the Redskins and Dan Snyder. It's not the Redskins case that's going through the system.
Mm-hmm.
There's an Asian American band called The Slants.
Nice.
They just won a case that said that they had a free speech First Amendment right to have a trademark registered under the name The Slants, even though it's offensive to Asian Americans.
That's great.
We're going to see what happens
now
with the Redskins.
Not to be confused with that female power punk band, The Slits. Maybe that's a thing. I'm not sure. Could be a real thing for all I fucking know. All right, folks. It is Papa's Football Podcast. I am John Papa Giorgio. He is Howard Flood. We are back. We didn't get to do many episodes this season, but hopefully the rest of the year we'll get to bang them out. Howard Flood got married.
I guess this is a good show to talk about that on a little briefly. Why not, right?
They know you as the co-host of the show. I didn't really cheat on you much.
Maybe it's good to bring it up in the context of when you get married in December, it really screws with your ability to watch NFL games. I will say that. It was really rough.
I feel you didn't get to watch shit. Every time I called you for 3 months, you're like, I'm busy planning the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
I just say now, you did a good job, but nothing sounded gayer. You might as well have been like, I'm planning where the fourth cock I'm going to play with today is going. My mouth or my ass or maybe both. But congrats. Nice ceremony. You guys rocked it. I think some bills were thrown down for that event.
Yeah, no, it was a good obscure type location during the off-peak season. That's why you can save money when you get married in December because most people don't do it, especially where we
Hell
are based
no,
in D.C.
Yeah.
So we got a discount on the venue. And so it was
you rented out the Fillmore in Silver Spring, which is like a medium-sized concert venue, right?
Yeah, but they don't do a lot of weddings, so they were begging
us. I was going to say, it was like, if you know DC at all, it was like renting out the 930 Club.
Kind of, but, you know, outside the city, so it was cheaper again. Like, it costs a lot more if you want to be in the district. That's one of the things you learn
quickly.
We'll
get to the football shit in a minute. We just wanted to do this wedding segment because I was Howard's best mon.
And you had a great speech, man.
Thank
you. You done well. You've done
you.
Well, being as ADHD as you are.
I can
you really brought it together.
In limited places. Like, when I know that I can't fuck up, like for your speech, I focus. For shows like this, I focus. And when looking at porn, I focus. Those are the three things. I can't even focus when crapping now. If you're like, hey, John, take a dump without holding a cell phone. I'm like, why do you hate me? Why would you make me Sophie's Choice it like that? I'll just shit myself and play with my iPhone some more. How's that? Egg on your face. I shit the Gordian knot.
But yeah, you don't get drunk often. So the one thing I'm glad about with getting married this football season and having to miss out on all that was getting to see you're as drunk for the first time in years.
Oh, I was fucking obliterated.
Yeah.
I was drinking to the point a bartender rolled her eyes at me. And I wanted to instruct her and pull her aside and be like, that's how you don't get a tip, honey. Because yeah, I did my speech. And we had a little food, and the food ran out very quickly. And I was like, well, we still have the bar, don't we? And I wasn't planning on getting drunk. And I was like, I have nothing left to do. Like, I have to remember to not, like, forget my tuxedo somewhere.
Yeah.
That's it. So, yeah, let's drink. And then I drank to excess. But I was a good drunk, right? Like, I didn't rape anyone or any shit, right?
No, you did slow dance with another man.
Yeah.
There is photographic evidence of this.
I did that. To be fair, Calvin smells delightful, so it's a pheromone thing.
He did pretty awesome that night, too. We had karaoke as the entertainment, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. That was a success. I didn't know if it would be, but when the first person went up on stage and she sang What a Wonderful World, we scheduled her first because we were like, nobody wants to hear What a Wonderful World at, like, what is supposed to be an entertaining.
Which one, the Sam Cooke one? Or
No, like the Louis Armstrong.
Oh, yeah, she did that.
two drunk girls. This is the beauty of an open bar. Two drunk girls just went up on the dance floor and started grinding. I'm like, we are good tonight. This is going to be a lot of fun.
It was a good time. I drank so many gin and tonics.
And Mr. Calvin brought it with When Doves Cry.
That's true.
So his ass was drunk enough of not too long after that to be slow dancing with you, man.
Yeah, I did a lot of, I won't say gay things overall. I do remember the slow dancing with Calvin, but I think there's fast dancing with men, too.
Yeah, there was. I got in that, too. Yeah. I was not so sober myself.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
I will say this, though. Like, it's obvious both you guys are straight because you both kept trying to lead. Like, I saw the photo. I'm just like, that's so strange. Like, neither of you was willing to, like, put your hand on the shoulder, be the woman.
No, I mean, come on. For God's sake. If you even mildly believe in an afterlife, I do have a dad looking down on me. He can only roll so many times in that grave. But yeah, thanks again. It was a good time, man.
Yeah, and we actually, so my wife is a football fan as well. Big
Mostly
supporter of
college, right?
So I recall. You are not a college football fan, and I don't.
Fuck no.
I don't think you realize that was the, I mean, you guys were sitting in the green room waiting, watching a little bit of football.
I'll tell you why I'm not a college fan. I saw some ESPN promo a couple weeks ago where they're like, this is why you should watch college. And then they showed college footage of a bunch of guys who are now big in the NFL. And I'm like, great. So you're how you achieve success in college is getting into the league that I watch.
Yeah.
You know what? Fuck it. I'll save watching American Goddamn Idol. And if Carrie Underwood makes it and sells an album, I'll just buy the fucking Carrie Underwood album. How's that?
That is why American Idol's off the air. Maybe you're onto something.
Who wants the Bush League shit? I mean, if you grew up in the college town, so be it. If you have, like, great memories, like, I got whacked off so many times at Virginia Tech games. I was tugged off under so many blankets. So be it. You know, fucking put on Glory Days on loop and watch your goddamn Frank Beamer neck pouch game. But, you know, fuck it, man. I grew up in D.C. when the Redskins kicked ass. Like, I'm busy remembering Mark Rippon. I'm busy looking at pictures of Mark Rippon's daughter. I'm fucking trying to grow an Art Monk mustache over here. That's what I'm feeling. That's where I'm at.
But at any rate, since, you know, both of us are college football fans, we had to look at the schedule and see that my alma mater, Texas, was playing on the day that, like, we picked for the wedding. And also, it was the ACC championship since she went to Miami. Mm-hmm. And we had to ask ourselves, were we going to have guests who are going to be pissed that we picked to get married on the possible day that our teams clinched a spot in the college playoff?
No, I guess you were okay. No one was griping about
See, you don't follow college football. You got to understand, both of us looked at each other and said, you know how
I think it was big
there's
for
no
you.
Chance that Texas or Miami is winning jack this year. Both those teams suck, dude. So don't worry. We were able to confidently say before a snap was played this college football season that we could get married in December. Our teams were not going to be in it at
the
end.
There's also mobile devices. Like, anyone who really wanted to could have, like, been a piece of shit and watched football during everything.
You know what, though? People are people. And even if they're your friends, they're just going to give you a hard time anyway. Like, why would you schedule this today?
Oh,
why did you do that?
I mean, that's like me. I'm taking that writing class in New York. There's a class called How to Write for Late Night TV or some shit. Like, really just a training course in, like, what could change my life. And pay out. And Pete, who does Papa's Basement with me, found that and booked it. And it's, I believe, January 29th. And all I could fucking say was, like, you do know that's when the NFC and AFC championships are. Like, really? What?
Are you sure?
What kind of sissy on wheels? It's that Sunday.
Okay, because I thought the Super Bowl was on the 7th.
Yeah, which means the bullshit week is the 2nd. And then the week before that is the NFC and AFC. Whatever the fuck day NFC and AFC goodness is, that's okay. When this is.
That's brutal, yeah.
It sucks. That's like the end of the season for a real football fan. Like, the Super Bowl, who gives a shit about the Super Bowl? I guess you do for bragging rights if it's a team you care about, but like, the Super Bowl is more spectacle. It's like, oh, what food are we bringing to the Super Bowl? You know, are we? I'm not even going to go down that path. I just hate it. You have to explain the rules if you're with anyone who doesn't know the fucking game, which is code for my old mom who insists on watching it. And then she'll like really try to get into it. She's like, who's winning now? I'm like, you don't fucking care. I could be like, Johnny Unitas is leading the Baltimore Colts. Yeah. She'd be like, really? I know that name. How about Nick Bonaconte? Is he still with the Dolphins? Shut the fuck up. You know nothing.
Yeah, no, the Super Bowl can deliver a good game, but I do not give my heart to the Super Bowl until the second quarter, usually. Because there have been times in my life where the game was over, especially like when Peyton got his ass beat by the by the Seahawks.
No bullshit.
It was over on the first snap.
That was the worst one since the Raiders got the shit pounded in by the Bucks.
In defense of the Super Bowl, between those two, you're talking like 13 years of decent Super Bowls.
Fuck it. It's been, okay, game-wise, it has been really good. It's just, there's a weird vibe in the air of the Super Bowl. Like, maybe because the presentation looks so much different than any other game. Like, kickoff happens, and it's, there might as well be the Milky Way galaxy of fucking flashes in the stands. Yeah. And it just, it feels weird. Even if it's a good game, it feels very different.
Yeah, because I do think there is something about that week leading up with the press exposure. Players are too conscious of what the moment means. And to me, like, we remember a lot of those fourth quarter great moments in Super Bowls in the past decade. But when you watch those first halves, a lot of those games are not good games from beginning to end. Like, I always love to talk about when Carolina played New England.
Mm-hmm.
About, what, 2003?
Yeah, DeLome was the quarterback, right?
That was one of the worst first halves of football I've ever seen in my life. There were so many punts. I got so drunk. This is why I still talk about this story came up about a couple days ago because I was talking to people about experience they've had puking out of a car.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, when they've done that, they're like, whoever they're riding with will pull over, they'll stop, and then the person will puke out of the car.
Who the fuck pukes out the car?
So my ass got so drunk.
Are you talking with CC DeVille during 1989?
I was just doing shots of Sambuca. I was so bored.
I've done that too, and that is maybe the most vomity I've ever been on a liquor.
Yeah, no, it's brutal. But again, I got
up,
drunk.
Like, brown, rubbery looking shit too. It's like I was making rubber dog shit with my mouth. I fucking hate Sambuca.
My Sambuca night at the Super Bowl, I was hanging out with a bunch of Corey's friends.
Okay.
One of the other groomsmen. This is one of the reasons he was a groomsman.
Was it a bunch of Greeks? What the fuck is your excuse for having Sambuca on him?
Not like the guy who hosted that year was Italian.
Ugh.
And so he busted it out and he said, hey, you guys want to do this?
No. The answer is no. Fuck no.
I'd never had it. I was like, this is delicious. And I've never had it since.
Of course you haven't. It's like you were like a caveman who found a new mushroom and he ate the mushroom and he shat for 8 days straight. You would never even like be able to smell that mushroom again.
But
you're
getting
sick.
I always associate that Patriots Panthers Super Bowl with me shoving my head out of the passenger side of my own car.
Uh-huh.
Corey ended up driving my ass home in my car because he can't drink really. It's one of the reasons I have a friend who sucks at drinking because you'll always have somebody that can drive you home. I ended up, while we're driving down the road 40 miles an hour, just sticking my head out the passenger side window and knowing, even though I was that drunk, to puke downwind. So I'm just, you could hear the vomit splatter against that rear passenger side window. It was horrible.
I was going to say, you painted flames on the side of your car, like the Murphmobile.
So I guess a lot of people don't have that experience in their lives of like puking while in a moving car.
Not really.
Yeah. No, that was me during one of the Super Bowls. And I blame it on crappy first half play from guys who are
just
too
boredom.
Conscious of the moment that they're playing in the championship game. And they just play different than you saw them if you're a football fan in that championship game and really throughout the entire season. So that's the frustrating part about a lot of Super Bowls. Last year's was pretty good, I think, from beginning to end because you had two teams full of guys that had played in the Super Bowl before.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's not always that case.
Who the fuck was last year's again? For some reason, I remember the Denver-Seattle
one
more than this.
Come
on, son. No, I don't. Okay, hold on. Oh, the Patriots won, and they beat Seattle last second.
You got to remember the play, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's still talking about it, like, whatever. I'm tired of hearing about that play because everybody's like, we'll remember it forever. I'm like, really? Let's see what happens this year because if Seattle's back in the Super Bowl, it completely erases the memory of that last one.
Why would anyone remember anything forever? I'm sorry. Like,
there are plays. There is like the play. You know, everybody remembers like David Tyree kept making that catch
I
off
guess,
of Rodney Harrison's
helmet.
It was
like 7 years ago. Like, give it another 10 years, people won't remember it.
It's just with
there's kids that were like alive now that were born after September 11th. Like actual kids, like who could bust your car window and take your stereo and shit. Like real people. Like they don't remember that shit.
Yeah.
So it's all dust in the wind. Speaking of dust in the wind, Chip Kelly is going from the Eagles. I, as a Redskins fan, personally, am. I enjoyed Chip Kelly. I thought he was interesting in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that he seemed like a genius, at least on the surface. People could buy into that. But then he was just doing horrible thing after horrible thing. Like, there was a bodybuilder by the name of Mike Metzner.
Mm-hmm.
I believe his name, Metzner. Long story short, the guy was like really into... he was a jack dude. They said he was like naturally huge, and he would say things like, at first he's like, you don't need as much protein as they tell you. And you're like, all right, that's an interesting theory, Mike. And like, he'd get huge without that. And then he'd be like, you really only have to lift like 20 minutes a day. And that's what you do. And you're like, all right, that's an interesting theory, Mike. And it seemed like kind of logical, and it got a little more loopy. And by the end, he's like, you know what? Nature's vitamin. I drink my own piss every morning. And you're like, fucking shit. Okay. This guy's bat insane. And maybe everything he said up till now was bullshit. And that's kind of like Chip Kelly, where like the first few seasons, they're like, Chip monitors the downtime of every player. You're like, okay, like Chip monitors his players' menstrual cycles. You're like, oh, okay, maybe that's something. And then by the end, it was like, you know, Chip cuts DeSean Jackson. You're like, okay, maybe that's a thing. And then, you know, by the end, it's like Chip doesn't play DeMarco Murray and doesn't know what the fuck to do with him. Chip 6-10. Chip bet the farm on Sam Bradford. Again, you're like, this guy might have something going on. Like, maybe he is seeing something that no one else sees in Sam Bradford. And then, like, Sam Bradford just kind of was not even interesting this year. You know what I mean? Like, fucking, yeah. He wasn't injured for once, and he was just mediocre. Like, that was the weirdest part. But, like, as I found him interesting as a coach in the league. As a Skins fan, I actually wish he got more time because he fucking sucks. So, like, I wish they gave the asshole 8 years.
Right.
Goddamn Herman Gehring looking motherfucker.
I mean, the problem with the way that he runs a team, from what I'm gathering from this season, is that if he's not winning, players hate him because essentially...
He's an asshole.
The way that he treats people, he views them as objects. And when you're talking about a sport predominantly filled with white coaches and rosters predominantly filled with black men,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the players, and this is like a report I've heard consistently, I should say, from... Stephen A. Smith for a couple years now, is that Chip Kelly, he's a racist. It's really the perception
that
he treats
a lot of people said that, yeah.
the black players like slaves. And he has no qualms about treating people like property, with no context for the history of America, where that was something that was done in an inappropriate way for more than a century in what is now the United States.
He should have dressed like Will Ferrell and Get Hard. Like, really tried to get them on board, worn some FUBU. Is that still a thing? Yeah. Am I hip sounding still? Built like, he should have just had like a temple to Jobu, except just a huge black ass instead. Been like, I like this too. And then they would have been down.
It started with, was it Riley Cooper? Being allowed to stay on the roster, 4 days punishment for dropping the N-word at a country concert.
He was just screaming it more than once. He was like at a Kenny Chesney concert.
Yeah.
And he was just screaming at security, like, I'll fight any nigger in here. And it's like...
Don't do that, man.
What?
No, I'm saying, like, it's just like, do you not know what you do as a profession? It's just like, come on, man.
And like, a lot of people, I figured he'd get the shit knocked out of him for that, but it seemed to kind of
slide. He lost all his friends on that team, and the team did not have the back of the players who were upset.
What was weird, though, he had a decent year, at least the year of that, because it was like before the first game.
He got a contract extension.
Yeah, and it's like, he was what, like at best their second? If not the third receiver on the roster? I mean, he wasn't even that deep, man.
It looked horrible, because combine that with the trade of DeSean Jackson for supposedly having gang ties.
Yeah, which amounted to fuck all.
Like, you have black friends, and not all of them have money. Therefore, you're out. You're off the island. It's like, come on. You can't treat people this way. Everybody notices.
He was their one playmaker, for fuck's sake.
Well, no, there was also Shady McCoy.
Yeah, LeSean, who's gone to the Bills.
And that was a nonsense trade, too. It's hard to see Chip Kelly as someone who's going to be successful in the NFL for me. His last chance to me is probably seeming like Tennessee and Marcus Mariota, who I also think is not really fit for the NFL. But we'll see. Maybe they'll surprise us with the way that the rules now work on behalf of quarterbacks. Maybe Chip Kelly and Marcus Mariota can do something in the NFL.
I mean, it's insanity. It would be like if the Skins went out and got that Baylor coach for RG3. Like, if you go down that path, fucking have fun, Tennessee. It's going to be a hell of a toboggan ride.
they've just been a lot so of first, bad recently.
A lot of first picks on that roster.
Listen, you got to understand the difference with where Tennessee is right now, because I think around the time that RG3 was drafted, I think that was the same year that Jake Locker was drafted by Tennessee.
Oh, did they reach for him at 12? Or it was like Ponder was 12. Was Ponder the same year?
Ponder was earlier.
Okay, Ponder was a year earlier. Yeah, maybe Locker was a reach at like 10 or 12 or some shit for them.
I remember hearing the scouting reports. It's so funny listening to people talk about who to draft in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just remember the scouting report of Jake Locker is really athletically talented. He's just never seemed to been able to win games at the collegiate level.
Great. Well, I'm now like, that things get easier, yeah.
It's like he can't win games, and yet you're just looking at some statistics to show that he has the arm and speed to play in the NFL.
That sounds a lot like the report that on Jay Cutler.
It's bad.
And we see how things turned out for him.
In defense of Jay Cutler, Vanderbilt is not really a football powerhouse. Jake Locker went to Washington. Washington is a national championship winning program.
Let me get some college football points here. The Huskies?
Yes.
Nice. But so, isn't UConn also the Huskies?
Yes. There's more than a couple of those.
All righty. Continue.
I'm just saying, like, Jake Locker set that franchise back when he was drafted. And so to get Mariota is definitely an improvement. And so they're still in the upswing to me, even if they're bringing
Chip
Kelly.
Not to sound like Chip Kelly, but Mariota definitely better than RG3, I think. Seems like he has a better head on his shoulder. I don't know. I mean, like, RG3 had that one insane season, but let's be honest. RG3 is kind of gone, and, like, points to him for just shutting the hell up. But, like, have you noticed the environment around the Redskins is, like, somehow much more Pacific? Like, it's just much nicer. There aren't, like, constant leaks of the horrible shit that's going on in the organization. I really wonder how much of that was you know, Bob G.
It's not just RG3. I think a lot of it has to do with Dan Snyder and the way he treated RG3. And the humiliation of RG3 is also the humiliation of Dan Snyder. He's basically been put into... He's been put in his place as the owner by the coaching staff and general manager, as they've really just forced him to accept that they had a better quarterback who was drafted in the fourth round of the same draft that RG3 was. And so,
God, it'd be nice to have those picks back. God damn.
It's been very impressive.
A lot of
with
people
Kirk
are
Cousins
like,
recently, I'll say
I'd
that.
Go back in time and kill baby Hitler. And I'm like, I just stop him from giving away those picks. I'll think small.
I mean, I got to defend RG3 insofar as when was the last time the Redskins won a divisional title before his rookie year? He really brought some hope back to the city of Washington as far as the people who root for the local team go.
Was it, I want an actual answer to that. Was it did Norv ever get him the division, or did they only wild card in?
I believe
once
he did
Norv?
Win the division one time.
So it was like 98-ish or something? I guess
something
is the
like that,
answer.
Yeah.
All right, so it'd been a nice decade plus.
Yeah, no, it was.
Still not worth three firsts and a second. Because he's going to wash out too. So his grand cost was three firsts and a second.
Yeah, no, it's hard to be in that position, but at least you have a future, assuming that you're able to keep Kirk Cousins on board.
They can.
Okay.
There's no way that guy's going anywhere.
You do remember when Trent Green left the Redskins, right? Remember how, like, the last time you had a promising young quarterback who nobody knew before he started for the Redskins, mm-hmm. and then he was gone?
This isn't going to happen. Hey, where is he going to go? Where the fuck is he going to go, man?
I think there are a lot of teams that would pay him good money.
I think there are a lot, and you know one of them is the Redskins. Like, yeah. It's not a money thing, and I think he's plugged in enough where he's like, fuck it, I kind of got a decent thing here.
Let's just see how the playoffs go. Let's really, like, forecast here. Who are the Redskins going to play at home?
Oh, I can tell you. There's one of three options, sir.
Okay.
You have Green Bay, you have Minnesota, and you have Seattle. And I believe, I'm kind of just hoping it isn't Seattle, who have knocked the Redskins out of the playoffs the last three times they've met in the playoffs, and which would be the Skins' last three trips, period. So I think, shit, Green Bay has to win and Seattle has to win for them to get Seattle. If Green Bay loses, they get Green Bay.
Okay.
I know that's the determiner. The Sunday night game, if all it matters, if Green Bay loses, they get Green Bay.
Okay.
That's it. Like, Seattle can win or lose, but as long as Green Bay loses, I think they get Green Bay, which I'm kind of down with, like, just because we're a league, we're all dumb. And so whatever happens the week before, people then act like that's the trend that they forecast all season. Like, Green Bay got the shit knocked out of them by Arizona. I turned that game on in like the second quarter. I was like, fuck, I don't have to watch this.
Yeah.
I mean, they were already down, what, 21-3 or some dog shit. It was insane. And you see that and you're like, well, who doesn't want Green Bay? Seattle seems kind of dangerous, although all of a sudden people are like, Seattle isn't that great. They lost to the Rams at home. And it's like, you know what?
They lost to the Rams last year, too, and they still made the Super Bowl.
It's people act like it's fucking transference property, though. You know, like, hey, Redskins beat Bears. Bears beat Seahawks. Ergo, Redskins beat Seahawks. It's not that. It's like rock, paper, scissors. You have weaknesses that line up in different fucking ways, man. But in terms of just like, okay, I look at Minnesota as a matchup where it's kind of what the Redskins are doing. You have a like, well, okay, they have a good run game. But it's pretty balanced team overall. Mm-hmm. Seattle is kind of like Russell Wilson's bawling his fucking nuts off right now.
Yeah.
And then you have Green Bay, who's in disarray to some extent. And they look like one of the shittier Green Bay squads in a while. But it's still fucking Green Bay. Like Aaron Rodgers could just like, you know, wipe the Olivia Munn juice off his face and be like, hey, man, I'm going to make it goddamn rain on these assholes.
I got to say, you can't base your ability, like the Redskins' ability to beat Green Bay on that Cardinals game.
Hell no.
Because the Cardinals have a great defense.
Cardinals
the Redskins
are insane.
Do not.
No, not particularly. I mean, they got like better cornerbacks and better safeties than they have in a bit.
The pass rush is picked up too, from what I've read.
So. Yeah, Kerrigan doesn't look like a goddamn cripple anymore. So it's not bad. I mean, it's not like it's some huge weakness. The shittiest thing I'd say is the run game, which is just, I love Alfred Morris. Anyone in the city loves Alfred Morris, but you look at him and it's just, it's sad, man.
Like, Matt Jones has been playing pretty well too.
Yeah, Jones has been doing great, but it's just like, god damn, it's like Morris has aged in like dog years. You're like, fuck, what happened to you, man? Aren't you 24 or some shit? And like he just like gets a yard and then is knocked down. Whereas Matt Jones, yeah, looks mean and like gets some actual. I don't know. That one's a puzzler. Like a motherfucker.
I will say this about the Redskins: the thing that should give Skins fans the most hope, even against the team like Seattle, is the fact that you have wrapped up the division on a Thursday night in Week 16.
Mm-hmm.
So you have more than a bye, essentially, to prepare for the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, Saturday. So they had like 8 days, I guess.
Oh, between this game upcoming and what are you talking about?
Okay. No, they won on Saturday.
It was a Saturday night.
Yeah, they won Saturday.
I hate that CBS graphic because they're playing Saturday night games with the graphic of Thursday night football. I'm like, screw you. It's Saturday night. I don't care if you have a trademark on the Thursday night game.
Yeah, get the fuck over it. No, I'm with you entirely. It's asinine. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any easy wins. They're not world beaters. And here's a news flash. Three teams are in the playoffs because they're fucking good. You know, like, no one's getting in there when you're like, oh, they're the cakewalk. The fucking Skins are going to be, like, viewed as the cakewalk.
But they earn the bye. Yeah. Nobody else has that kind of opportunity to take a chill this week. Like, all the teams fighting for
I think literally every other team in the league can fuck with their position except for the Redskins.
Everybody who's, like, going to the playoffs,
Everyone else can either get in or out of the playoffs or, like, screw with their bye, you know, a bye week or not, or home field advantage or not. The Skins are the only ones who are like, we got home week one, and we sure as fuck don't have it any other week. So let's just chill the hell out. And I mean, yeah, they're playing Dallas, but screw it, man.
We're gonna rest up some of the starters. RG3 is going to be our starting free safety, that kind of thing.
I mean, it's even, you're right. It's even better if you let Dallas win to fuck with their draft position. Simple as that, man.
Oh, man.
Start four guys. Just let them do their damn thing. Doesn't matter.
So we talked a little bit about that NFC. You want to flip to the AFC at all? Is there anything on that side of the field that you really find interesting this week?
Yeah, there's a huge thing in the AFC with Peyton Manning. Al Jazeera saying that Peyton Manning possibly used HGH to recover from his spinal injury. And I mean, I know football's an American game and Al Jazeera sounds like it would hack off our heads, but maybe, I don't know, there's some truth to it. They're already backing off and saying their report did not say Peyton Manning used it, even though that's like exactly what the fuck was reported for a while. So
yeah,
I mean, like, would you come out and be like, our report never said that JFK used HGH. If like somewhere in the goddamn report, JFK and HGH weren't mentioned together, it'd be a weird thing to say.
Yeah, it's kind of a messy situation since you have one uncorroborated report, because there was a undercover reporter for Al Jazeera who then interviewed someone in the Indianapolis area with connections to, I guess, an HGH supplier, who threw out some names. And it, after the fact, it does sound right now like that guy was basically looking at the undercover reporter as someone that needed a little bit of puffery, you know, a little bit of sales, of that sales pitch in order to get them to be convinced to use the product.
Okay.
So those big names that were thrown out, they were all bullshit. That seems to be what people are saying now, where it's like, the guy was just trying to make a sale, basically. This wasn't about, oh, I'm giving you this information because it's true. It's like, I want your money, and I'm going to make it sound like I know what I'm doing because all these big names come to me. Like, all the millionaires trust me to sell them HGH.
Yeah.
It's more of that kind of pitch.
Okay. So it probably is bullshit, but I'll say two things. One, if anyone has a forehead that looks like they use HGH, it's goddamn Peyton Manning. Like, he looks like Ken Griffey Jr. in that Simpsons where he drank the nerve tonic and just got the huge baby skull. Like, so there is that. And second of all, from what I gather, and I'm not like some juice user in any way, shape, or form, HGH is more a recovery tool than anything else. Like, unlike a lot of real testosterones out there, it seems like it just brings you, you know, a faster recovery from whatever the hell was ailing you. And it's like, in 2011, Peyton Manning broke his goddamn back, like Batman with Bane. Like, he had his spine severed, like a Sub-Zero fatality type shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Like, it's not like, what people don't grasp, it's not like you drink HGH or shoot it into your dick pipe or whatever the fuck you do, and you're magically better. It just gives you the means, if you're willing to work your balls off, to actually make that recovery happen. So, like, I got respect for it. And here's a news flash. I'm pretty goddamn sure the entire league is on roids. Like, the tests that they give for HGH and whatever the fuck else, they're BS, man. You can see them coming a mile away.
I mean, I guess if you want to talk about just generally in sports, what's the deal with performance-enhancing drugs and why are people so adamantly opposed to it in the United States, I think it's that fear that high school kids and, you know, younger people are going to look at this and see it as an option to help boost them and get them to their ultimate goal of playing in pro sports.
That's almost too logical, though. Like, I really think it's because we're dumb and we want to believe that, like, despite just how stacked everyday life is against us, and that's why, like, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump are getting traction, because they're just on their, you know, opposite poles, or it's like, fuck the entire system, it's cooked against you. We want to think like we can watch sports and it's something that makes sense. You know, it isn't about like interest rates and our job being shipped to China and shit like that. It's like, I understand he catches the ball in the end zone and it's a touchdown. Well, no one really knows what makes a catch, but give me a better example. Like, the ball goes in the hoop and it's 2 or 3 points, depending on the location.
Or one if it's a free throw.
Bada boom. We want to think we get that. There's something that makes sense and it's like not crooked. So that's why anytime we hear about fucking crooked zebras, or we hear about like these guys juicing up and shit, it bugs the hell out of us, because we want something that's wholesome, for God's sake. One thing in our pathetic lives that isn't a lie.
I still disagree with you. I think it's just this insular view of, we got to protect the children. Like, it's always been something we've seen is wrong, and at the end of the day, we're going to keep saying it because the last thing I want is my 16-year-old juicing. I think that's a big part of it. And I guess the reason I bring it up is when I look at how sports really work, baseball is more indicative of this, just because you have all these Dominican teenagers who are basically passing around like whatever they can get. Hopefully it's steroids.
Yeah.
But the hope is that they can like pull their family out of third world poverty by juicing. And it seems to work. It honestly is like, if given the choice of, you know, doing some damage to your body and continue to live in a shitty country.
Yeah.
Versus like actually getting a minor league contract.
Damage your body by living off of spam.
Yeah, it's just like, you don't even need a major league contract. If you can just get signed and play, like bounce around the minor leagues until you're like at a certain age where you then get sent to the Mexican league, like, that's a good life back in the Dominican for your family. So, you know, it's a lot harder if we actually ask ourselves, like, is this wrong? I mean, what are you going to tell the Dominican 16-year-old and his family as far as this goes? Because we don't really bother to test. We claim we're trying to now, but that's bullshit. Like, as far as baseball goes, yeah, we definitely depend on basically these performance-enhancing drugs to provide us with the best possible product on the field today.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. I don't know what to say. Again, if you really buy into that bullshit where it's like, why are players that much bigger? It's like, well, our understanding of nutrition is that. Like, get the fuck out of here. Really? People didn't know to eat red meat and like hit the weights beforehand? Jesus Christ, how dumb do you think we are? Fucking juiced out of their minds.
I guess in defense of players, though, who believe it is cheating, I guess that's the hard part for me is you do see guys.
Well, kind of is, because it becomes like, okay, I'm on juice number one. And then the next guy's like, I'm on juice number one and juice two. And then the next guy has to be on juices one, two, and three. And at a certain point, it's like, yes, my kidneys are as hard as a gargoyle's ass right now. Like, my organs are rotting from the outside in or the inside out, whatever word I was looking for. And yeah, it does. It's an arms race. I don't know what to say. I think probably it just becomes like we don't understand that culture. Maybe like in the NFL, it's just cool to like take certain supplements that are juice and others like you're cool with a guy being on HGH, say. But like if he's taking HGH and like, I don't know, Dianabol or some crap like that, you're like, whoa, that's kind of cheating, dude. Like, we don't know what's accepted within the walls. Yeah. Of any organization either. Like, there might be league-wide stuff. Like, you said that one time when I was like, dude, why doesn't anyone just, like, walk out on the field and take, like, a cinder block to Tom Brady's leg and, like, accept a year-long suspension, but suddenly the Jets are in it? You know what I mean? And you're like, there would be player revolt. No player could do that to another player. Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe they just kind of police each other, where it's like, this steroid's cool, this steroid's cool, that one's fucked up. Don't do that shit. That could actually hurt you in the long run. We're not going to do it, so that means you don't do it.
The flip is, to me, I think there are guys who actually use nothing. They don't cheat whatsoever.
Yeah,
they really
called
do.
Kickers.
No, but I mean, I think there are guys, I think there's like several categories. I think there are guys who use it for a period in order to like gain an advantage when they're, say, hurt or, you know, just trying to make a name for themselves. There are guys who are constantly looking for a way to get that advantage. I think that's the thing that people are most afraid of. But I really do think there are people who never use. Like, you know, they'll go like the GNC clean route, whatever it is. They're actually trying to do it in a way that complies with the rules. And those are the people who seem the most upset the way that sports are going, because it's getting to the point where essentially we're asking like all athletes to do whatever it takes, no matter how much damage it does to, you know.
Yeah, it's a very easy scenario to understand. Like, I don't think you're a competitive dude. If you're at the NFL level, you're competitive as hell, and someone is doing something that gives them obviously a competitive advantage, and then it's like, I'm not going to do that. I mean, and there are also guys that are just like, fucking JJ Watt, come on. Like, I like the guy, but Jesus Christ almighty, that's not you know, you're not saying this, I'm saying it. And what do I say to cover my ass here? This is my theory. There's no fucking chance that guy's natural. There's just a literal no fucking chance. Like, what? That's like a body is like 1 in 1,000 years. You know, like, he would have been the Mountain on Game of Thrones or some shit. Like, he fucking would have been an ancient warlord. Like, that just doesn't happen. Like, there's no way a lot of guys aren't beefing up to the max on this stuff.
But let me ask you, so if we're going to have a society where it's okay for guys to do this, and we actually regulate, it's like, all right, these are the ones that we know are not going to destroy your kidneys.
Yeah.
These are the ones that are going to give you the maximum possible size advantage, crazy athletic ability that everybody wants to like put on their daily fantasy sports team. Is that something that is going to ultimately come back to the kids again? I think I keep bringing this up because that's the thing that people are afraid of.
Look, from what I gather, like, the NFL's testing for steroids is just bullshit. It's bullshit. Like, it does not
catch. It's a smokescreen.
Exactly. It does not catch a goddamn thing. They know what sells.
It catches the weed. Anybody who's smoking weed gets caught.
Oh, I think they're drug. Yeah, they're drug testing. They don't give a flying fuck about that. I mean, for God's sake, Josh Gordon, you know what he's doing his year for right now, right?
It's ganja, isn't it?
No, it was like after Cleveland's week 17 when here's a news flash. I don't think they made the fucking playoffs that year. He got on a plane and went home and like on the plane had a couple fucking drinks. And I think when he got off, they were like, we're going to test your piss for beer now, Mr. Gordon. And he was like, my league year ended. What the fuck you want from me? And they were like, the league year ends with the Super Bowl, sir. And, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I believe that is what he was popped for and is now sitting out a fucking year for.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think the league in no way wants to hamper recovery tools because who the fuck wants their stars sitting out? They don't. So I don't think they test for that shit really at all. And they I guess, don't want the bigger hits anymore. But they certainly want a wideout who can run his goddamn balls off, you know, and they want their aging quarterbacks, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, all that shit, to hang in the game as long as possible, and any marketable star to hang around as long as possible. It's in their best interest to keep these guys, not even so much like the huge performances, because if everyone went down in terms of performance, it'd be a new normal. You know what I mean? Yeah. But endurance, holy shit, they have a vested interest in endurance.
Yeah.
I mean,
they want the 18 game season. They really
yeah,
do.
Yeah, that too.
And you need PEDs.
I mean,
you need PEDs to make that possible.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like right now we have the GNR reunion is coming around. Like it's a known brand that people want to make money on known brands as long as possible. If they could have their druthers, fucking Peyton Manning would be playing until he's 50 and hawking Papa John's every year. Like, they don't want Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
He's the face of a team now? Actually, fuck that.
Just to kind of transition to a different topic and go back to, you know, the field, the game on the field.
Sure.
Just talking about quarterbacks staying in the game. You know, we have all these new rules that are designed to protect quarterbacks. And I've complained about this many a time on your show.
Mm-hmm.
But what's a huge reminder that just was thrown in my face this week and last couple weeks, really, of, like, how painful it is to watch a starting quarterback go down for a good team and then just having to watch this horrible backup basically ruin the experience that fans have when they watch the playoffs.
Oh, what happened for you? Which game was it?
I know you hate Andy Dalton, but have you seen his backup play?
The Red Rifle? I'm
okay
with Andy.
Oh, my gosh.
Andy has gotten lights out this year. And, yes, I have seen Alabama product A.J. McCarron play. I've also whacked it to his girlfriend once or twice in my life, I guess.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, man.
I'm just saying, like, the way that the game ended against Denver, it's so sad to see a fumble on a shotgun snap end a game that was just otherwise promising. I realize it's two backups that we don't want to see in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But Karen versus Osweiler.
It fucked up his wrist, too. Like, so I guess he, like, Lamar'd from Revenge of the Nerds. I don't know.
It's just so sad. To me, it's so sad that we're going to have to watch a Cincinnati team with a just horrible fucking quarterback. Somebody not qualified to be an NFL playoff quarterback. Maybe he's qualified, you know.
Well, it was annoying. I think what really stinks is you were like, this is their fucking year. Like, they're finally, like, Andy Dalton was sick of being called, like, a piece of shit game manager and, like, was lights out balling. And instead, yeah, this happens. It reminds me of Marvin Lewis seeing Palmer go down. And he just has that, like, lone iron-eyes Cody tear running down his face.
It sucks because, like, for them to have a good year, they were just going to win a playoff game. I was like, this team could win a playoff game.
That's it.
I was super excited about it. I'm like, they're going to win one. They're totally going to win one.
Yeah.
Nope.
No, nope. And that's exactly, like, he's not even that fucked up. He has, like, a goddamn thumb thing. You think, like, the NFL wants to put as much as it can into Andy Dalton to get him back out because they don't want people like you who are half Korean. No, they don't want people saying, like, who the fuck wants to watch Brock Osweiler versus A.J. McCarron? No one. Yeah. But Andy Dalton versus goddamn Peyton Manning, these are two built brands.
Yeah.
And that is all that America is now. Like, that's why Star Wars, the seventh Star Wars, is huge. Because we're like, I already know Star Wars. I ain't got to learn nothing new. And we're dumb like that. Like, who the fuck wants to learn about new quarterbacks? We can have the old ones.
Yeah, it's crazy to me because I hate some of the guys who end up on TV after their careers, but I can tell they're already grooming Tony Romo to be on television after his career.
With his little gerbil eyes?
He's one of the worst conversationalist within the NFL. I hate hearing him at interviews.
He has little
awful.
Eyes. He has little fucking Eskimo eyes. He reminds me of, you remember our buddy Baron, right, from back in the day? Baron was like this Nordic-looking kid, but he had these little slitty eyes.
He told me about that once.
Yeah, he said he had like some sort of Mongol blood.
Yeah, Genghis Khan.
Yeah,
he got into parts of Europe, so that's where that comes from.
Tony Romo has little gerbil eyes. Like, they're barely open, and what is there is just a huge, there's no pupil, it's just like all black sclera. It's creepy as shit looking if you look at his eyes and really pay attention.
Hey, but I want to go back, speaking of Tony Romo and his owner, Jerry Jones.
Sure.
I was thinking about this today with Chip Kelly getting fired. The difference between the Philly owner and Jerry Jones, so Jeffrey Luria versus Jerry Jones, is that people use the phrase players owner. You know?
Mm-hmm.
He really goes for the players.
Yeah.
That's Jerry Jones because I think he really does have a degree of loyalty. I know it's impossible with the way the salary cap is set now to just be loyal to everybody.
But he used to play football.
Yeah, he really has a connection to players and is willing to go to bat for them against a coach.
Yeah.
He's actually willing to. And I know people say, hey, you can't have an owner who's contradicting a coach. But with the Eagles, I've always felt like players, they basically have a hierarchy like any sort of organization, but players are not seen as the most important piece of what makes an NFL franchise. They're not really concerned with like players as people, but players as a product in Philadelphia is my feeling, because you know the way that Terrell Owens got treated in Philly versus in Dallas. I know like Terrell got cut at the end of the day in Dallas, but he was rewarded at the end of a good season with a new contract. Whereas in Philly, that didn't happen because the Philly owner just said, no, we do things here. You sign a contract. We expect you to honor it. It's one of those things where the owner in Philly will always go to bat for the coach before the players. And players notice that. I think that's a real problem with Philly versus Dallas. And I personally think if I were root
Christ,
for an individual
you
team.
You might as well describe the Redskins, too. I mean, that's Dan Snyder. Obviously loves a goddamn player over a coach.
He will pick a player over a coach?
Fuck yeah, man.
Well, just one.
I don't know, man. I always get the vibe Snyder was a jock sniffer.
He's
the
a jack
difference
sniffer,
was
yeah.
he never played the game.
That's why Jerry
so
Jones
he was
is
just
different.
Like, you play football, dude. That's so fucking
cool.
Whereas Jerry Jones is like, hey, I played college ball too. Isn't pussy great?
Yeah.
And like,
that's why Darren McFadden is on the Cowboys. They both played at Arkansas.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, it's just like, hey, nah. Gotta look out for my my fellow alumni.
Oh, he loves Razorbacks, man. Yeah. He'll get that shit on the team all day. Was there anything else we wanted to discuss? I mean, we have another week until the actual playoffs are set up, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be a colorful Week 17, but yeah, I think the big thing that
we're
looking
for. It's a great
Week 17.
It's one of the loosest Week 17s, I think, in terms of the playoff picture being set.
Careful. I mean, it's always more fun when you don't know who's going to be in the wild card. Right now, that's fairly set. We basically are down to, what, 13 teams? Maybe 14 teams fighting for 12 spots right now, so. There's really only a couple of loose.
Well, the NFC is completely set, right? Like every team that can make the postseason knows it's making the postseason, right? It's just jockeying in terms of.
And then with the AFC, it's really like just a matter of which crappy team is going to win the AFC South is basically what. That's not really an exciting battle.
No.
I don't really care if Indianapolis or Houston makes it.
I'm sorry, like the teams in the South. Like if you want to compare the AFC South to the NFC East, like. I feel the Skins have shown some sort of improvement. Like, you can kind of root for the Skins. Maybe Houston coming out of the South, but, like, the Colts? Fuck the Colts.
In fairness, I mean, you're looking at two teams with quarterback issues, and it's a lot of it has to do with injuries in the South. So, I mean, it's a little unfair to those teams.
Andrew Luck was eating shit before he went down.
I don't understand why everybody's still in love with him. I like him personally. I think there's a lot of cool things. I love the fact that he refuses to shave during football season unless he has a bye week.
I like his Civil War beard memes.
Yeah.
Those are always hilarious. But yeah, he has had a rougher and rougher year almost every year, it seems. And like this year, you're not going to move on from the dude at all. Like he's at that level. Not saying he's like great, but he's good enough, and he cost you the first pick in a draft where in no way will you entertain moving on from him for no bullshit at least like another 3 years.
You have to get a new coach in there. You can't let Chuck Pagano continue to do a
Fuck
bad job.
Chuck Pagano. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm glad his balls are okay, But I will never get over that first year when he had his ball cancer and my man with the beret steps in and just wins, and all he does is win.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, he got, I believe, Coach of the Year that year, but everyone was like, yeah, Chuck Strong. And I'm like, what the motherfucker are you talking about? Did you watch what I watched? Because it was Arians that got him every goddamn win.
Who's about to win the NFC.
And I mean, yeah, what you were saying about backup quarterbacks, holy shit. Do you remember what happened to the Cards last year? Where yeah. It was like, Palmer's doing great, rips an ACL. Then they go on to who the fuck was their backup who then got dinged up. And by the end, they're on to a guy, I think the name like John Skelton or some shit. And he was their playoff quarterback. And you're like, what am I being forced to watch? What the fuck?
Talking about coaching trees, though, Todd Bowles has gone from Arizona because that was his defense that held Arizona together last year. Now he's got the Jets in the playoffs pretty much, man. Yeah. There is actually one wildcard spot open in the AFC. I think there's a way for Pittsburgh to possibly still get in.
Absolutely. They're still in the running.
But they're more than likely out. And one of the reasons is Todd Bowles has been kicking ass with Ryan Fitzpatrick as his quarterback.
The Colts were finally eliminated with the Denver win Sunday night, right? Monday night. The Colts.
I thought they still could
win.
Can
they still south in?
The south, yeah.
Okay. Shit. I thought someone was eliminated with the fucking Bronx winning. But whatever. Why would we research that? We're only a football show. I'm digging it. I guess it's going to be one of those Sundays where, like, once 1 p.m. clears out, like, a lot of shit will be settled. But, like, the Sunday night game is guaranteed to have playoff significance. That's not every year. Like, a lot of years, that Sunday night game gets fucked by the earlier games. And, like, they're really hoping it doesn't happen, but
it does. Well, they can flex those now. That's the thing they've been doing the last couple of years. They've been able to flex games into prime time.
But I think even then, you have to announce your flex, like, a couple weeks out.
Yeah.
Like, it's still, you're playing a dark game. Still a little. Yeah. And this year, man, is guaranteed to determine the wild card versus the NFC North winner. So it's kind of baller.
Yeah. No, it's great.
And not only that, like, the Vikes are ascendant, whereas Green Bay is just... I don't know, man.
I'll still pick Green Bay in that game. You got Minnesota?
Yeah, because Teddy Bridgewater is like little kid hands, man. That's apparently his thing. He has like real tiny mitts, supposedly.
Huh.
Like trouble holding onto a ball. Huh. Little dainty girl.
He's not a big guy. He's going to struggle to stay healthy if they ask him to drop back more. I'll say that. That's what everybody says about him at this point. So.
I mean, I know Norv Turner is the OC for them right now. I'll root for that dude anywhere.
Yeah. Still positive views his time in Washington.
I love Pineapple Face. You kidding me? I bumped into his kid, I think, one time. I remember there used to be a sports card shop that I lived at in Greenbrier, D&D Sports. And, like, his kid came in and was just, like, selling cards. And his dad, Norm, was just parked in this massive SUV outside. And, like, the owner is being really nice to him. And, he leaves. I'm like, who the fuck is that kid? Why aren't you selling me magic cards like a good man? And he's like, that's Norv Turner's son. That's Norv in the truck, if you look. And I looked over and it's just, you know, Norv being a fucking dad. Not like he's doing anything cool. Like getting Roadhead, smoking a Pall Mall. But, yeah, it's like, oh, there's my brush with Norv Turner greatness. So, yeah, I'll stick up for the man.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to look back at his tenure as the Redskins coach because it's been so bad since he left.
That was bizarrely long.
Yeah.
Given Dan Snyder, like, I guess that was the first... You know, Dan Snyder was just getting a sea leg, so he didn't know how to fire yet. But yeah, after that, it was like...
I mean, Norv always had mediocre teams. It was always this bizarre, trip towards 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it felt with the Redskins. Yeah. There was a couple times it was a little bit worse, a couple times a little bit better.
Yeah.
But it was really just like, you will always be in the middle of the road because of the way he calls the offense.
Yeah, yeah. I guess he's just not like a likable coach, or you really? Don't feel fired up by him. I don't know, man. Dude's like obviously like some weird mental case that knows how to do offense like a mother, but he's probably not like a people person.
I think it's just, yeah, there's many coaches who kind of ignore what happens on the other side of the ball. I think Jason Garrett reminds me a lot of Norv Turner as far as like, I don't think he cares about defense. I don't think anybody in the defense looks at Jason Garrett and says, oh yeah, I totally buy what he's saying about how I'm supposed to play on D. It's just like, fuck that guy. Where's the DC? I don't listen to anything you say, fool. Like, go talk to the quarterback.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Well, I guess we can wind up with that. Fuck Jason Garrett. Always a appreciated sentiment on this show. The show again is Papa's Football Podcast, hosted at pfpod.com. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher. We're going to put this one on YouTube as well. But please find me at Papa's Basement on Twitter. Howie Flood, any place they should look for you?
I'm going to fix my Twitter account, make it more of a Papa's Basement friendly nickname.
One of these days.
Something like Howard the Sidekick. We'll see.
Works for me. All right. Been too long since I got to play this sound effect. We're out of here.